You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold. Don't you know you are my heartache?
All right, here we go. Here we go. It's another episode of My Sexy Podcast. You know it very well as the sexiest podcast. You walk in a room and it's just the sexy
That's my classic impression of me coming.
Nice.
Combined with a rapper that gets distracted by their own sound effects and beats. I'm here with the indubitably delightful... I have this problem. Too much saliva in my mouth.
Right, don't
swallow it in a timely fashion. Leads to just
flooding.
a flooding suction situation every 10 minutes. Guys, you heard her voice. So you probably know by now. It is Sharla Lauriston.
Atai! It's me! I was hoping you'd continue doing the English accent.
Did I ever
You said indubitably.
Indubitably.
And then I thought that meant... I was recording the second season of my web series, and there was a sound person from the UK.
Wait.
And I did this the entire time. And I was like, do you want to murder me? Because I'm talking like this.
And he said yes.
He said, yeah, he should have. He really should have. But he didn't. I'm still here.
But, okay, hold on. Wait. Actually, I need to say some things. Sharla is an example of a person who went ahead and did some shit.
Okay.
Yeah, she just went. Yeah, that's the theme song from her web series called Clench and Release. You have one leg in your opening there.
I do. Wolf bites it off. I love it.
Oh, goodness. So this is something that you produced on your own.
I did, yeah.
And isn't that crazy? We live in a time where
you can do it on your own. And at the time, of course, I was crazy broke. I was working a full-time job, and I literally just used the money that I didn't pay rent so that I could do it.
What a fucking
Because I just
good...
fucking wanted to do it.
And guess what?
So bad.
I mean, that was like one thing that showcased you, or was it the definitive thing that you think that showcased you to get the opportunity that I'm about to announce right now, which is she just wrote on the new Tina Fey show, which is on Netflix, called called Unbreakable.
Kimmy Schmidt.
Yeah. I mean, that's fucking boss.
It was fucking dope.
Yes.
Yeah, I think it was definitely because when I went in and I interviewed with them, they reference specific episodes. So I was like, whoa, having that kind of thing to showcase must be really important so that they can be like, oh, I like the way you wrote this and
yes,
how
guy.
It displayed on camera here. And, you know, words.
This is me beating this information into my audience.
Right.
All right. You want something? Make it happen.
What accent is this right now?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to lay off the sound effects for one moment when I tell you. Oh, one time I met Tina Fey. Did you meet her so many times when you worked with her?
She was there the whole time.
The whole time? Whoa!
Her show.
But you're like a pretty cool person. You know.
Yeah, I was super chill. I was like, yeah, like I was like, whatever, it's cool. I don't care. You're like a person.
Yeah.
No, I was like really weird.
Were you?
She said happy birthday to me one time and I was like, what? How did you know? So obviously people told her, bro. She like totally didn't know. But it was really.
It's hard to have
really
like this
sweet.
Whole context of who someone is.
Yeah.
And like have this like sort of hero situation and then just try like, you know, try like on the inside be like, what?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I actually thought I was like way cooler than I thought I would be. Like, especially in
Wait,
the
this
interview.
Is so meta. Wait, you thought you
I thought
were...
I was going to be so weird.
Okay,
and
cool.
So
and
like, were, because and... on because honest to God, I on my goals list, I'm like the lamest human on the planet. I have a goals list that I put on the back of my door. And every
no,
day
that's
when
not
I walk
lame.
Out.
No.
I don't give a shit
you,
if it's lame.
You know that you're not lame.
I know it's not lame.
Yeah. You know it's like, not lame. That's humble brags.
Yeah. Humble brags. Cool. I'm humble. I'm not, though. And I straight up put work with Tina Fey like on my goals list. And then like, you know... For it to be happening every day, I thought I was going to be so weird about it. But that's the weirdest thing about dreams is that it's just life. It's like you have this dream and it seems impossible and it seems like otherworldly or like you can't touch it. And then it just like happens. And it's just like you're just looking at Tina Fey in plain daylight. It's like she's not on TV. She's just in front of you and she's just a normal person. And she's funny.
Get to work. Like, I mean, like
and
your
it's
first
a job. You
your
get
first
up
job
and you
in
get
TV
there. Yeah.
Is like this.
And it's just like, whoa, that's I thought it was really cool in the sense that it like brought my dreams down to earth, if that made sense. Like it made it
no,
feel
it made
like
anything seem attainable.
Attainable. Yeah. Like, you just gotta do stuff and, like, do whatever you want. Work hard, I guess. And, like, I mean, not I guess. You do have to work hard.
Yeah, I guess the work hard's
optional. I guess
optional.
Work hard, you know? If you wanna. And then those things are just, like, in front of you. And it's your life. And it's every day. And it's, like, not weird. It's not amazing. It's normal. And it's crazy. So...
I like the way you put that.
Thank you.
Was there a moment, was there, so you're not paying your rent and you're putting all the money into the web series. How did you even know how to go about doing that?
I was like, I don't know if you know Issa Rae, Awkward Black Girl, Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. Yeah, she's got a HBO show with Larry Wilmore coming out, or they just greenlit the pilot. Yeah. So I saw Awkward Black Girl and I was like, I have to do something now, like, because I loved it so much. It was like such a, so like Awkward Black Girl is
it was
this
the
black
inspiration.
Girl. Yeah, but it's not just she's a black girl. Her hair is natural. It's short. She's like not even wearing makeup in half of it or whatever. It's just like, and it's hysterically funny. And it's like, she did such a good job with it and it got so many views and like Pharrell bought it, and like put it on his channel, I Am Other. And like, she just wrote a book and I was just like, holy shit, like you can do whatever you want. Like I have this huge like opportunity staring me in the face to just do whatever I want. And I don't care if anybody watches
it. So you started with that inspiration.
Started with that inspiration. I was like, I have to do something now. I had an urgency in my gut for some reason that like it was irrational. All of my, you know, all of my things I just do it with like insane urgency, as if like if it doesn't happen now,
that's
probably
part
good.
Of your
success.
Because a lot of people, I mean, like, you know, how many people come up to you after stand up and they're like, I'd love to do this, and it's like, well, you know, they want some sort of linear path, and it's like, well, you actually just have to do it.
Just do it. I always feel like if I don't do it, then I'm never gonna do it. Then like if I don't do it, then fuck it. Like I need.
Yeah,
to
but
do
then
it
actually
now.
Here I am saying like, yeah, people come up and how do you do stand up? But I'm like asking you how you went about. And I guess at the end of the day, you do have to pay people a little bit, right?
Yeah, you do. Oh, God.
did you just, like, negotiate, like, bare minimum, like,
oh,
please?
No, straight up, I'm totes cool with, like, straight up breaking it down money-wise, bro.
What do you mean?
I'll tell you how much it costs the first season of
Clench.
Yeah,
let's break it down money-wise.
Oh, my dollars,
God, you're the
bro.
Best.
So I would say that the first season of Clench cost me about $2,500 for four episodes. Drank. I was singing this song as I walked in.
That's fucking great.
Yeah, it cost about $2,500. I actually was working at Columbia University as like an administrative assistant in the film.
Dude, $2,500, because then are you like hundy here, hundy there? Is it like, are you paying actors? Or are you
No, I didn't pay any of the actors. All the actors were friends, and I was so grateful that, you know, people were totally down to do it.
Yeah.
Didn't ask about getting paid. I mean, I of course.
I mean, I think when you're starting a project,
like,
and it's
like
a passion
very
project.
Yeah, I was clear about the fact that they weren't going to get paid, the actors. But you have to pay sound, because you don't want shitty
like,
sound. I had to pay the DP, the person that handles the camera.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I would have two cameras, and the purpose of that was to make shooting go faster. Because a lot of times, like, when you're shooting, and that was another thing, learning so much about literally how to
shoot
something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, like, the reason why shooting takes so long is because if you work with one camera, it's easier to edit. But if you work with two cameras, it moves faster, because then you don't have to like you don't have to reset the entire set in the actors to get coverage of the other side or of the other person talking, or like, you know, I had to pay for lighting. I remember I was
and
so
was
broke.
This, you were so broke?
No, I was so broke. I went and picked up the lights myself, and I didn't have enough money. Like the lights rental was in Chelsea, and I live in Harlem, and I didn't have enough money to take a cab from Chelsea to Harlem. So I had to get on the train with these like fucking huge heavy lights.
You walk in the train
and
everyone's
like fucking dragging the light.
Fuck,
and then literally by the time I got home, I had to call my roommate to like come down with one of those shopping cart things that we have in the apartment to like help me carry this fucking shit down the street. It was so heavy. Anyway,
I mean, this is like hood, fucking
hood.
Great.
So fun.
I mean,
but yes, I had to pay for. So I paid for lighting, food for the crew. Of course, I was lucky enough. I did it in a way that like the only location I had, Columbia doesn't know this, but they let me use one of their offices as a location. And that was the only real location. Everything else was outside or in my apartment or like on a bench.
Rented, did you shoot it all in 1 week or something?
Oh, no. We had to, you know, it's to coordinate everybody's schedules. And I worked full time, so I only had the weekends. I only had Saturday and Sunday.
Then were you directing, I guess?
I had a director. That's why I mentioned.
The DP was also the director?
No. The DP was, so my director was Rakesh Barua. He was at the time he was a student, a directing student at Columbia's graduate film program.
Awesome.
So he was super funny. He had like, and I don't even know how we just always connected over comedy, because I didn't really talk to everybody. I didn't want everybody to know my business, you know, like everybody know at my full-time job to like know that I'm like doing comedy at night. I hate everybody, all of my
I'm
business.
Actually shooting everyone
asking,
right now.
I know, right? Like asking me when's your next show. It's super annoying, so I never talk about it. But like we connected, and like he knew that I did stand up, and he came to a couple of shows. And then I mentioned to him that I had wanted to do another project because, newsflash, I had a project before Clench and Release called Funny Girl that I never released because it wasn't funny. Drank.
Whoa, that's funny. I like that part. I mean, okay, so you shot your first one.
Yeah, I shot my first one.
And you didn't release it?
I didn't release it. And
yo, you know what? You could also make some side money doing motivational speaking.
Oh, snap, really? Are you motivated right now?
I'm motivated. I'm hella motivated right now. And also, this story is just, it's one, you know, it's so, getting old is complicated.
It's
getting older is complicated because you just fill up your mind with all sorts of different case studies. And depending on your mood, you can either focus on the negative or you can focus on the positive. And sitting in front of you talking right now, it's like, yeah, it's very fucking clear. What is $2,500 at the end of the day? Yes, it's a lot of fucking money.
It's a lot of money when you don't got no money.
When you don't got no money,
but what's the rest of your life doing something you don't want to do? Or,
exactly.
Or never doing the thing that you thought of doing or whatever it is.
Or, and then the idea of like that you shot this thing and didn't release it and said, okay, I'm going to start again.
Yeah.
What was the deal with the first thing you shot?
It just wasn't funny. Like, I watched it and I was like, what the f-? Like, there were no jokes. It was too long. Like, I was so nervous on camera. I learned so much from watching it. And it had nothing to do, because like some other guys from Columbia helped me with that too. And they were amazing and they were awesome. But my writing just wasn't there yet. Like, I didn't know how to write jokes on camera yet. I didn't know how to like get to the point yet. I didn't know how to structure anything yet. So it was just like all not, it just wasn't funny. It just didn't flow well. I didn't like it. So I didn't release it.
Interesting. Okay. So then how soon after the first thing that you wrote? You saw Issa Rae's series. You said, I need to get writing. You wrote, you were like, this is a pile of
Yeah, this is
nuts.
Bullshit. I think I was like over excited for the first one, because I could tell, that's another thing to like listen to yourself, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could tell when I was writing Funny Girl that in the writing it wasn't funny. But I was like, I just want to do it so bad. I was like so excited. And I just like couldn't wait to do
it.
I did. I went to school for international affairs and global studies.
the classic lead up.
Classic. I worked in a Senate office before I quit and started doing improv hardcore.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
Yeah. No, I'm like a real profesh person.
I'm Suits intimidated. Profesh. I can't make
you
eye contact.
Should be.
I guess I'll just play Kendrick. So
honestly, Kendrick Lamar is like my bae. I love him so
really?
Much. I love him. I think he's brilliant.
You just got married, but if
I
you
did just get married, yes.
were in a stuck in an elevator with Kendrick,
I honestly
and he was
said
like, I want
to
kiss
my husband.
You.
I was just like, okay, just so you know, like if I met Kendrick Lamar, like you understand what's gonna happen.
What is he? What kind of?
He doesn't believe it's gonna happen. He's like
no,
so
but
like
would,
logical. He's just like whatever. You're never gonna.
The odds
him.
Are.
The odds are you're not so sure. Them, so whatever. But yeah, I told him that like it'd be hard, you know, for me to keep my vows.
Dick would be here.
Dick.
Yes.
Yes. Dick.
So this is a sound effect for a hard dick. Hold on, I've got it right here. Yep. I know nothing about penises, but that's what I imagine happens. It wakes up. That's the noise as it's like, wait, something's sexy.
That's a noise that sounds like someone, either that's
and
a
then?
Horse or someone whose tongue is too big.
This is when it bounces up.
Nice.
All right. Cool. Perfect. Exactly worth doing twice. Like. So then take me to, and also I will say I did observe, maybe only one time, but I imagine it happens a lot. People's, someone came up to you and was like, how'd you get that? Like with kind of like angry.
Oh yeah, like, with like this angry. Like, who the fuck are you?
Like, why did you?
Fuck did you?
Why did Tina Fey want? What?
Yeah.
The honest.
Oh yeah. Oh, it was so weird because it was such a weird thing, like to go from like being like just like a comic that can't even get booked on a weekend show to like being someone
to for Tina Fey being like, happy birthday.
Yeah.
You got that
like,
script?
Yeah. The validation that comes from getting a job like that is insane, but I have to say this is gonna sound like an Oprah moment. Okay, like I'm sorry.
Go on.
But you had
Christmas, the holidays. Oh my god. About going to school and saying what you got, and I got this. And so
this
I
is a perfect thing for her to be saying right now. How did you do this so quickly?
I don't know. I got him in my sleeve. Actually,
holy
that's the
shit, that was good.
Only seamless sound effect I've ever played in the history of this podcast.
I was just gonna say that, like,
so it's gonna sound like Oprah, but
it's gonna sound like, I was gonna say that, like, you get so much validation, like, you know, you are affirmed that you're funny, you're getting paid to be funny, like people that you've looked up to are saying that you're funny. The validation from it is insane, you know, but
yeah,
you
I'm
have
sure it
to,
heightened your stand-up immediately.
It did, but the thing is, you have to have had that first, you know, you have to have had like that. You have to have known you were funny before anybody else said you were funny.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't need anybody to say, I didn't need
I mean, it's
that
kind of like being sexy,
like,
you know what I mean? Like, a lot of people that are, I find some people, actually, not a lot, some people that are like, I just can't find a man. It's like, well, you don't actually love yourself that much
right now,
you know? It seems like that, when you can smell that on stage, you can smell that in the first project that you had where you were like trying too hard,
trying
I guess.
Trying too hard.
And then you were able to master.
Yeah. Well, that I was just saying that because that's what it feels like whenever people are asking me, like, how'd you get that? What's that like?
Because,
and it's just like, I don't know.
The other shift.
I was just
the
doing
other
shit.
The thing that you figured out quickly that it took me, even me.
No, you.
Lord Jalise. It took me a while to, you know, it's easy to get distracted. I mean, this comes up often because I'm always talking to comics on this podcast, but it's easy to get distracted by what other people are doing. Like,
for sure.
Actually just talking about John, who started Stand Up New York Labs. Let's get a good sound effect for him. I don't have any applause sound effects, so I had to play clank 3 times. But John created this studio, and just having an idea and then taking the steps to get closer to what your vision is so key. And what so many people get distracted by, especially, and it's exciting in New York, you know, like Broad City, like you're galloping with like really cool fucking stallions, and oftentimes it seems like the best thing to do, or like out of desperation you kind of want to like reach and like grab onto their speed,
right?
I don't know if this horse analogy really works, but I want to change it to like you're a little jockey. Everyone's a jockey on their horse. And sometimes it's tempting to look at other people's horses and be like, oh, how do I just like, you know, jump onto their horse? But it's like, no, build your horse.
Yeah.
Feed your horse. Shine your horse.
Exercise
raise your horse.
Right.
Yeah.
Brush your horse.
Brush your horse.
Give it water.
Y'all, brush
you know,
your
all
horses.
All those things that you like take care of horses.
Because that's the way that the person or like the way that those interactions work is often like, how'd you get that? We should hang out and maybe if we have a coffee or something, I can, you know?
Right. That's the most amazing thing is that you like can't trick anybody. You don't fool anyone when you're doing that. Like either you can do it or you can't do it. And that's it.
And the best way to, Yeah, man, these are the lessons. So
lessons learned.
Then, okay, I guess I want to talk really quick. I want to get back to like the idea of working with Tina Fey and your first like writing gig. And so cool that it was in New York too.
Oh yeah, I was really grateful for that.
Then, okay, wait. One thing I wanted to ask. It was called Tooken originally, right?
It was, yeah.
And then the name change. Was it because it was Tooken? Because tell us about the show.
I mean, it stars Ellie Kemper, and she was trapped in a doomsday cult for 15 years, and she finally escapes and restarts her life in New York City. And it was initially called Tooken. And I'm not 100% sure why they changed it, but I think it was because it was confusing. Like, the word Tooken was confusing.
I mean, I thought it was so ballsy when I first heard about the project.
The
I was like, oh my God, yeah.
I love
that
the name Tooken.
Like, only Tina Fey could write a show about, like, women that get kidnapped.
Literally. Only her. And,
but I do like the new name better because the series, from what I understand, doesn't revolve around someone who's is it captive. It's about breaking free.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. There are a lot of themes of like strength and overcoming and being encouraging and not letting your past, you know, hold you back and not letting your past define you and things like that. I thought it was like, I think it's a really empowering Tina Fey kind of deal, you know? It's what she does. She like empowers ladies.
Okay, so speaking of empowering ladies, because this is going to be released today. Here we are, Wednesday, February something or other.
Right.
And but the one thing I tweeted this morning too, where I was like, if you found something negative about Patricia Arquette's Oscar speech, you're negative. Like, the whole thing, like, what do you think?
Honestly, I did not listen to
it. Okay, so her speech, actually, you know what, why don't we see if we can pull up the speech. And in the meantime, I'll describe that she won the Oscar for Boyhood.
Yes.
She went up and she goes, she's just, here it is.
Okay. Jesus. Ooh. Thank you to the Academy, to my beautiful, powerful.
We'll get to the part.
Eric White, for the inspiration of living with a genius, to my heroes, volunteers, and experts who've helped me bring ecological sanitation
to the developing world. This isn't the part I'm talking about.
Love.org.
GiveLove.org! It's like, that's not what I'm talking about.
Every woman who gave birth.
There we go.
To every taxpayer and citizen of this nation, we have fought for everybody else's equal rights. It's our time to have wage equality once and for all, and equal rights for women.
I'm clapping
in the
with my clank.
Of America.
All right. Cut to Meryl Streep. She's pointing. She's saying, yes, fuck yes. She's like Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah. I think I saw J-Lo going in.
J-Lo's
too, like,
going
crazy.
Yeah, everybody's excited. Why not take this? As feminists, as like just people in the world, why not take this moment and just like enjoy it? Like, what a cool thing. Patricia Arquette saying, give us money too.
Yeah.
Let's get equal. But guess what?
What?
So many fucking people.
Wait, there's no more? Is that the end
of
her?
That's the controversial speech. So many people on my newsfeed. Well, look at this divisive speech.
Right.
They're like, she, you know, the implication that we should fight for women. Gay people have their own struggle. Black people have. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're crazy.
Right.
Like, you are literally miserable. And you're painting the portrait of the angry feminist so perfectly.
Right.
More perfectly than people that are like, you know, anti-feminist. It's just so, it fucking bothers me so much when people just can't, it's like, you, I mean, what's the gift horse in the mouth? Something about punching a,
don't punch a gift horse in the mouth.
Don't eat a horse. Don't eat a horse, no matter what country you're in.
Give it water.
But it just bothered me. It just, that bothers me.
Right.
But you didn't see the speech. So.
I didn't, I mean, I, like, I'm on Tumblr and like literally, this is all of Tumblr. Every time somebody says something good, they're like, just like, well, what about, you know, cis, you know, oranges?
cis
oranges. Like, what about like fucking that identify as black men or whatever? Like, and I'm just like, oh my God, Tumblr. Chill.
Oh,
and it's like, I
shout
mean,
shout out to all the cis
oranges all up, you know,
that identify as black men.
You know?
Wait, who sings the opening song to your
His name's
series?
Doug Fisher. He's a music producer in Brooklyn. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Rakesh found him.
Dope.
Shout out to Doug.
So there's that. I mean, now that we're just like in this little chunky monkey where I start talking about things that bother me, then last night doing stand-ups, this one comic has a joke. I mean, like, I don't even feel bad talking shit about it. Actually, you and I did a show a while ago.
Right.
And I was talking shit about someone.
Right.
As I'm prone to do. It's what we do best.
I love talking. It's
yeah,
one of
like,
my favorite
if you're not talking
do.
Shit, what are you
what
talking?
Are you doing?
Who are you? Wake up call. There's a new activity. It's called talking shit. It's the bomb.
Oh God.
But like, I get, I mean, like sometimes you talk so much shit that you're like, oh, I feel ugly inside. But like, right. I mean, a good balance of right. like just being skeptical of people's antics.
Right.
And so we were being skeptical, but then I high-fived the person.
This high-fived them. This was a long time ago. You high-fived them in a way that made it seem.
I was also
like
pretty jolly.
You were.
I had a couple drinks. Yeah. And like, what to me, then we had like, we broke it down for hours after right. of like, was that the right thing to do? Because you're like,
right.
you felt that I was then going to like go talk shit about you and then high five you. Or you were just like, this is a disingenuous person. And I see how that right. could be read that way. But now do you know that I'm just a jolly Jalise?
I know you're a jolly. I know who you are, Sabrina Jalise. I know you're a jolly, jolly person. I don't think.
I know you're
I don't jolly, think you did it like in a. Mean way. I just think, okay.
Stick to how, what
how
your
do,
opinion
How do
is.
I put this in a way that, like, you know, accurately describes what I mean? I feel like when people are trying in comedy, you mm-hmm. know, it's already such a hard thing. The world's hard. Comedy's hard.
Yeah.
And then we have ourselves, you yeah. know, to we judge ourselves. We're our own worst enemy.
Now,
we self-destruct,
I will be
right?
clear about one thing. Right. The person that we're talking, the person in question right. is not someone I don't think that is... I don't take the comedy aspect of their life too
seriously.
Yeah.
Right. yeah.
So I don't think I'm like directing
so,
them.
Yeah.
To
let's just say
you know
it's
mean?
Like a beginning.
I think
it's a beginning comic.
I think it's like
right?
an activity.
Right. And let's say that this beginning comic, you know, has displayed that they have a lot of resources at their fingertips. Perhaps they're a little bit more privileged than the average comic, maybe.
Yes.
Right. And to encourage them by, like, in a, even something as small as being like, wow, you did a great job. Like, to encourage them when they
that.
Did not.
You know, but you know what the thing is? I've been doing this a long time. And I right. just feel like people,
no,
you know, it, literally, like, people are on their own path.
They are.
It so happens, not yeah. so happens, but you are the kind of person, and luckily so, that your inclination has always been, it seems,
right.
to solve things yourself, to, like, you know,
yeah.
to be proactive about your career.
And the thing
and it's
is,
not to say
the
that this
person in question,
yeah, okay, no.
like this is like a drop in the ocean for them. Like this,
yeah,
this will not matter.
Or she.
He or she. This will not matter for he or she ever, ever.
Exactly.
Like,
so which,
never
for,
think
which
about
for
it
me,
again.
I just would rather
just
give
a
high
small
five.
Moment. It was such a small moment. And Sabrina feels so guilty about it.
I just feel like, bad because I feel like you was, were like, you know, you were like basically like,
I
okay,
literally
so you're
was
two-faced,
just calling
which,
something out so small and so fast.
I was worried about what the story was going to be for what I did or did not get.
Oh my God, I love
about
Oprah
midnight
so much.
That night.
I love Oprah.
Yes.
So
Christmas Eve, some
much.
Nun showed up at our door.
You know, and like an angry person could just be like, nuns? Why would nuns come to a door? Nuns don't go to doors. Nuns, you should go to nuns. It's like, oh my God.
Yeah, you can't let the internet be a good, like,
No, but it just bothers. It bothers right. me. I guess I just have to, like, silence people. Or I don't.
You, do.
You know what? Because it's kind of like anger
you'll
porn.
Get to
it's
this
anger
you'll,
porn.
You're going to get to a point, Sabrina, where you'll be more well-known and everything you say will be scrutinized. Like, look at Juliana Rancic right now. Because she said dreads were like smelled like weed. When
yeah.
everybody knows Rasta's rock fucking dreads. And
fact.
Like
yeah,
literally
no.
I was like cracking up over the controversy, her having to do a public
yeah.
apology.
Did she
I
do
mean,
it?
She
did
do a public apology. Her face looks stone cold Steve Austin. Like,
it would be better
face
if her face was stoned.
Her face
she was smoking
looks
a joint.
So it would like honestly I was just like she's now you know this is a tough part in her career now like if she didn't do a public apology
I don't know if it's tough I think it was
but
just like it's like
she
if,
doesn't know that right
yeah.
like because she's in the middle of it so
yeah.
right now she's like in trouble and she has to do a public apology and she feels like shit and it's like all I fucking said were fucking dreads look like you might be smoking weed. It's like
yeah
I mean I honestly think like once you get to that level where you're public you know, property because you're on TV
yeah.
and every little thing you say is scrutinized. You can't take it all seriously. You just got to take it with
no.
a grain of salt. Like
Michael Che
you know,
gets a lot of that too, because he just
hysterical
runs his
watch
mouth in every
it's
direction.
Hysterical to watch him do it.
Yeah.
like he's great.
So basically I think we're going to go back to, before we go back to me being like, and then what does Tina Fey look like?
Right.
And how does she
yeah.
smell like? And what does she
it smells like pretzels
all the time. Pretzels.
Yes.
Because she packages pretzels and children.
Yeah.
Just like last night. So then we're, just, I mean, I guess on the topic of like running your mouth and being like, yeah, you just got to be responsible for what you say.
Yeah.
I had a moment on, I did the Nightly Show panel, and at the end he asked me, would I kill a room full of Canadians or a room full of lesbians? I had to pick one to kill.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, kill the lesbians.
Right.
And that felt like, as soon as I said it, I was like, holy, what have I said? Like, what have I done? And that was like the most attention I've gotten from anything I've done. I got so many Twitter followers, but then after Ellen posted a thing of like, Sabrina Jalisse would kill a bunch of but it was also kind of supportive, but it was, but like some people tweeted like, how could you? And it's like, dude,
well, why would the other Canadians?
Like, so yeah, things are scrutinized. I still think, I mean, like, yeah, you can be in a tough corner and say some shit, but there's a couple comics last night in one show, two dude comics had the same type of joke, which was like, yeah, domestic violence is of course wrong, which I already am like not on your side. I'm already
what
a cool dude you are to be so bold as to come out against domestic violence,
right?
But it's all right if they hurt themselves, right? And it's like, why are you with someone that you want to hurt themselves?
Right.
Why do you want to? Why?
It's, people are just mining jokes. People are just trying to find jokes wherever they can find jokes.
Yeah, but I don't know.
I try not to judge people based on their bad jokes, honestly, because as a black female comic, right? When I first started, I didn't want to talk about black stuff. I was like, all right, there's been enough black jokes. Like, I don't want to talk about black jokes. I want to talk about something
white
else.
White stuff only.
White stuff only, stuff about roads, stuff about bikes. Like, I don't want to talk about black bikes. Stuff.
Urban planning.
Right. And I was just like, and then as I, you know, grew as a comic, I had to find, of course I'm going to talk about black stuff because that's my worldview. That's my perspective. I'm a black woman. So
Wait a second.
Okay. People can't see me, but I am black. And I'm like, I have to talk about this stuff. And there were so many times when I first started out where I would say horrific things. Like I would say, like I have a joke about roots. And I would just say horrible, horrible things about my own people, about black people.
Yeah, but I just think
because I didn't know how to talk about it yet.
Is,
you know,
important. The perspective,
of
like,
course it is.
And
yeah.
I think that, but, that like being kind of like a already creepy dude. It's just like, I just think that's you know, I, because then also I was hosting. I came on after and I was like, yeah, that real cool, you know.
Right.
And I got like some applause because it creates a weird tension. I mean, as a comic. But I guess, yeah, it's like judging someone for not being developed, I guess.
Right.
Which,
you can't expect a person with the privilege of being male to, like, you know, be able to talk about something like that from your perspective as a woman. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I will also say that I am pretty understanding.
Right.
Like, I'm definitely not...
Like, I remember I saw a white female comic make a black joke that I thought was, like, horrible.
Yeah.
like, horribly offensive, horrible.
Yeah.
And for, like, you know, a long time, I really hated that comic as a person. And it took me a long time to, like, separate their joke from them as a human person. I was like, oh, like...
And she officiated your wedding, right?
Yeah. So I was just like, I shouldn't...
this black chick!
like, I shouldn't judge this person based on this joke. Like... You know, hopefully.
I mean,
I honestly hope that they're better than this joke, and like maybe they
don't
know.
I resent your perspective right now, and I wish that I was having that perspective to you, because I like to be the rational one that's like, you know what, Charlotte, listen.
Yeah.
People are people, and now here I am, caught, dick between my legs.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we can go ahead and talk for hours about whether or not we have a social responsibility every time we get up on a mic to like really know what the fuck we're talking about.
No, that's not
but
what
like,
I'm saying.
You know?
I'm just saying like when it comes to beating women.
Right.
Or when it comes to like just really like heinous shit, and I have the responsibility as a comic going up after you to like make a comment about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if someone does something really irresponsible, like it's happened before that like someone said something weird about gay people and then I'm up there. I can't I'm not then being honest on stage if I don't have some sort of reaction.
Right. Well,
so,
I mean, I guess it's because, all right, once again, I don't know.
And I'm not saying,
knows,
I do agree
like,
with you.
Yeah.
Everybody's not, like, no one owes, like, everybody is in a different scenario.
Right.
And when you said, like, a privileged white dude, I also think that, like, we throw around the, like, privileged white male thing a lot where it's like, well, that's not applicable to everybody. You know what I mean?
It's not. I was just going to say that, like, I think as a black person, so I'm a black person.
Wait, can I just get a sound effect
just
for this?
For a black person?
Can you wind up and say it again?
As a black person. That's pretty much the accurate history of black people. Just fucking down the tubes. Jesus Christ. Hold on.
Would that be a better one?
Nah, I think the dwindling sound.
As a Pakistani woman. As a half Swiss lady.
Right.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Such an interesting background.
You were saying as a black.
Oh, I was just saying, like, as a black woman, I just think that, like, black people, I think, are bombarded with so much racial stuff all the time, whether it's negative or positive.
Yeah.
That, like, I always have to, like, take it in with a grain of salt. Like, I always have to take it in. Like, even when I see somebody do something on stage, I have to give them the benefit of a doubt because, like, it's constant. Like, if I'm the only black person on a show, or if I'm the only black person in a workplace, or if I'm the only black person in a classroom, like, mm-hmm. anywhere, like, I'm constantly
bombarded. What do you mean? What's the constant?
Even if it's a question about, you know, like, I don't even know how to, like.
Like, people referencing it. A black thing, and then yeah. you're the one that's got to be, like, cool it, with it.
Or whatever. It's just, like, I'm always black everywhere all the time. sometimes it's super negative. You know what I mean? Like, whatever somebody throws at me. So I'm just saying something, like, because you were talking about a comic talking about gay stuff or a woman beating a woman or something on stage. Like, yeah. I just feel like I'm a little less sensitive to it because I have to feel so much other shit all the time.
Okay, so then I'm going to put you in this scenario where someone talks about how, the joke is like slavery. I mean, sure, it was bad, but wouldn't it be great if all the black people were slaves still?
Right.
And then you go up.
Yeah, and then shit on that comic. Like, because literally, that's stupid.
Very literally.
Yeah, you literally shit on that comic.
Take a poo on a comic head.
You've got to shit on the comic.
You got to shit on the comic only because it's your responsibility.
Exactly. Because there's the idea at a comedy club too that, like, truth has been spoken.
Right.
And so to say something irresponsible.
I will not go backstage and then continue to shit on that comic.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, but you just said that you talk shit, and we do talk shit.
Oh my God. But I'm not going to go up
to them
comic
and try and change
and be,
them.
And try to change them and try to educate them about the history of slavery and, like, the. You know.
And that, my friend, is how you handle every situation. This has been Squeaky with Charlotte and Sabrina.
Oh my gosh.
All right. So now we got to get back to that juicy celeb filled part where I say, okay, first day you meet Tina Fey, how did it feel when you got the opportunity, when you were, like, choosing your outfit to go into work and just sort of, or did it feel just like, yeah, of course this is happening. This was on my vision board and I'm ready for the appointment.
I do have a vision board. I was working at a part-time job on the Upper West Side when I got
Columbia.
An email. No, actually.
No.
I was working at I had quit Columbia.
FedEx.
I was working at FedEx part-time administrative. So I could have more time to do stand up.
Was that real FedEx?
Stuff. No.
Oh my God. It was
a private school on the Upper West Side.
Okay. I was like, holy
I was
shit.
Just going
you've done it
up.
Again.
Yes, Andy.
Weasel
you.
Jalise. Yeah.
And I got an email saying that I need to say from her production company asking me to submit an original script or, like, a sample script or whatever because they're hiring for a show.
Yeah.
And, like, apparently one of my friends had worked on it and vouched for me and said that I was really great and funny and all that other stuff. They didn't say how they found me or anything or what.
Oh my God.
So literally
you
I
didn't
think
have
that was
representation at this time.
I did not have representation and I had never written a full script in my life. Like, I had only ever written 10 pages for my web series of an episode. So I had to fucking write one, bro. And they needed it
yesterday.
I think it was Friday and they wanted it I think it was Thursday maybe and they wanted it by Saturday.
No fucking way.
Because then they wanted to meet me on Monday.
Yeah.
So of course, you know, Friday I was flying out to Nashville to go do some stand up. And I'm in Nashville, gotta fucking write a script in 2 days.
Did you write your web series in, like, final draft?
No, I wrote it in Celtec. It's spelled Celtx.
So it's still, but it's still, like, script format. So you were familiar with the format.
Yeah, I was familiar with the format.
But still, how the fuck are you going to pull this
together?
Oh,
my God. I honestly just, like, looked up a bunch of, like, Office, like, The Office episodes, like, scripts online to, like, see the format because I wasn't 100% sure.
So it was an original?
The original script was, like, a half-hour version of Clench and Release. It was, like, a half-hour pilot of Clench because I was obviously familiar with that
and
world
you
and
could
those characters.
You pulled some scenes?
Yeah, I didn't. I started fresh.
Wow.
Like, just, you know, because I didn't have one.
Fucking remarkable. Dude.
Wrote that shit in 2 days. Actually, I think I'm lying. I think I had representation. I did have representation, but I literally, Sam Safer snatched me up like 2 weeks.
That's my manager too. Shout
straight
out
up,
to Sam.
My manager, shout out Sam Safer. She straight up snatched me up like 2 weeks before they sent me that email.
Yeah, because she's a genius.
She's a genius. So 2 weeks later, so you know, she's been my manager for 2 weeks. I get that email, forward to her.
She's like, I guess I made a good decision.
I guess I made a good decision. So I write the sample script while I'm in Nashville. I send it to Sam. She sends me notes. We send it. Sunday night, I get a call saying that they want to meet me tomorrow. Monday morning, I fly to New York. My interview's at like 10 a.m. or some shit. I like fucking land at 9 a.m. and I like run to my apartment in Harlem, put on new pants.
All right.
I wanted to put on real pants because I only had jeans with me.
Tip number two, kids, put on new pants.
Put on your pants. Took a cab to that interview straight up. You know, chilling, like, you know, because at this point I'm chilling because it's like, whatever, man, if I'm here, then like,
yeah,
you know, nobody can touch me right now.
Like, what do you mean?
Cause I was like, it didn't matter what happened at that point. Like,
yeah, you're like, it's already gone
well,
way better well, than
no matter what happens. I'm so proud of myself. Good job, Char. I was like, yeah, myself on the back. I was like, no matter what happens, like, I fucking flew from Nashville this morning to fucking come to a meeting with Tina Fey and like Robert Carlock. Like, it was such a great experience. And of course, you know, obviously I got the job. And then yes. I was so excited because paper.
Yeah. This is your first. Like, oh, this God, is also like start- the first time that you get great fucking money.
Money ever. So that was awesome.
What did you do with the money? You've got an.
Oh, my God.
Account.
I bought. Absolutely not.
So many fruit roll-ups.
Towels.
No fucking way. You don't have any in your bank
comforters.
Account?
Comforters. Oh, yeah. Of course. You gotta. Okay. I paid off credit card debt.
Okay, cool.
I paid off all of my credit card debt. I really tried. You know, I tried to be, you know, I tried to be a grown-up. Straight up buying towels was awesome. And
yeah,
like,
having nice towels
sheets,
is a good
like,
thing.
You know, like over 600 thread count, I was like straight up, yes. Like real
yes.
sheets.
Yes.
I bought shoes. I think I went like 2 or 3 years with just like 2 or 3 pairs of shoes because I was like so cheap and refused to buy like new shoes.
So now
shoes.
You got a whole
mad
buffet
shoes.
Of shoes.
Mad shoes.
Did you change apartments?
I didn't. I stayed where the job was in, the writing job was in Greenpoint and I stayed in Harlem for the entire, I literally just moved to Park Slope in November.
Wait, I thought you lived
November.
In sunny
Sunnyside, but it's like South Slope. You can
okay,
call it
cool.
whatever. Like it's like the neighborhood is called Greenwood because it's like right next to Greenwood Cemetery. Shout out to Greenwood
it
Cemetery.
It sounds like you're lying. I mean, this whole
it's
thing
really,
sounds like a lie.
But
at
it's
this point.
Like so close to South Slope, so I just say Park Slope because it doesn't matter.
No, you said Sunnyside to me, and I was like, this
I said
keeping
Sunset
it
Park
sunset,
to you, and
I don't
you
know.
Still
sun,
don't know.
As soon as you bring up the sun, I'm like, this
so it's
is
literally
not relatable.
Like, so this is how the neighborhoods go. It's like Park Slope, South Slope, Greenwood, Sunset Park, Bay Ridge,
right.
And I like right. live. I live right above where Sunset Park starts, so I just say Sunset Park because it's like, or sometimes I say Park Slope if nobody knows where Sunset Park is.
I mean,
it doesn't
I
matter.
I
it's
want
Brooklyn.
You to elaborate. I want you to break
it's,
it down
I
a little
in
more.
Brooklyn.
All right, we both live in Brooklyn.
Off of the R train, it's a local train.
Speaking of ours,
yes.
Take me to. So then the interview goes well.
Interview goes well.
I can't believe you put a script together. Like in a day.
I
in
honestly
Nashville.
Don't know what.
Do you think there was something
happening.
Magical happening in
I
Nashville?
I honestly was just like, this can't be a good
It's script. Again,
like,
though, it's again, though, that theme of
this
urgency.
Can't be
and then the, yeah. I mean, the fact that Sam was there, because I know with yeah. working with my stuff with Sam, like, she's just got great vision.
She's
so.
Got great, great vision. She's super supportive. She's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
She made me feel like I can do it because I was just yeah. like, I mean, it never crossed my mind that I wouldn't do it. Like, there was never a
of
point
course,
where I was just
yeah.
like, no, I'm not going to write
no.
a script
yeah.
in 2 days.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to fucking do it. But she really gave me some, you know, she reviewed it. She didn't try to stress me out about, like, you know, making it insanely amazing. She was just like, really, the point is just to show that you can literally just, like, write.
Okay.
I was like, great.
And then what, awesome. And then what have you learned from working on your first show?
Oh, man. I learned so
Money's
much.
Money's six figures, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, after taxes, no, but before taxes, yes. Taxes are a motherfucker.
Oh my God, taxes are such a motherfucker. I think I said it already on this podcast.
Holy shit.
I got my first juicy goody-goody check. It got, literally, it was a $10,000 check for the, and it was by the literally, time I got it, $3,300.
It's painful.
Why
it's
are you doing this to me? Why even bring up the fact that it was $10,000? Don't even tell me that it ever was $10,000. I like, don't
like,
want
why
to know.
Why were the trains so fucked up?
You know, it's like, yeah, you're
going to
get paid $200,000, but just tell me it's $5,000 at the end of the rigmarole.
You're only going to make a certain amount of money. Anyway, yes, it was. And it's like WGA. So you can, that's public information. You can go on WGA's website and see how much a staff
yeah,
writer.
Yeah, I just want to know like how
makes.
Much people pay for right, everything.
Right. Yeah.
How much money your parents have, how much money my parents
have.
I would
up,
love to
up.
Know.
On
my
the
parents
w-
are in Palm Springs yeah. right now, and I'm like, are you spending the inheritance?
Right. No, straight up. I love talking about money. I like making it so that it's not this like
it's not,
weird,
yeah,
like
this taboo
mysterious
thing.
Information. No, if you go on the WGA website, staff writer, a staff writer level, which is the in, you know what you come in as a staff writer, and then you can move up into like story editor, producer, executive producer, things like that. But you come in as a staff writer, so that's the lowest level. You're a newbie, and
you sort
on the
of
WGA
you're on
website,
all fours while the other writers put
right,
copies
right,
on your back,
literally. and I think it's like $3,700 or something a week, like
okay.
starting. But of course, you know, taxes, your agent, your manager, like
yeah,
you're
yeah,
gonna
yeah.
be cutting in.
I mean,
so,
the agent and manager. I mean, that right. stuff is nothing compared to the sheer taxation.
No, taxation. I think New York City took 30 G's from me. Wow. That's what I made
what?
Working for the senator. Like, they took an entire year's salary from me. Like, anyway,
dude.
Guys, is that illegal to talk about how much
no.
New York City, like, took? You know,
no, but
me
I think
asshole.
That there's something to do. I think that there's something about incorporating yourself that
right,
we need to learn.
Right, right. So I haven't done that yet. I'm still going to.
I'm going to hunt for that information
that.
And then pass it on to you.
Tight. Thank you so much.
Because
I haven't done it yet.
I think that
it.
Once you do that, then they
right.
can't. Then they.
Right.
Then you're responsible for
right,
paying
right, right.
rather
awesome.
Than them just shaving a huge
right,
cream,
right, right.
creamer top off. I'm going to call my mother real quick because she is in. De Palm Springs, and she is wanting me to call her. She's on this podcast every week.
I'm
everybody knows her. Everybody loves her.
Mom via telephone.
I'm not sure what she's going
to
talk about this week. Maybe just being on vacay. Have you ever been to Palm Springs?
I've never.
Me neither.
Thank you for calling Desert Isle Resort.
Uh-oh.
If you know your party's three-digit extension, you may enter it at any time.
All right. I'm just doing the phone.
You are being transferred to 5-1.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know. I think that you know where my mom's staying now, but by the time you figure out how to get her.
Please try again.
Oh, I guess she lied
no,
to me.
No, mom.
Okay. Mom. All right. We're going to just call her cell phone now.
I should have loved my mom, bro.
What?
Moms are great. I love my mom.
Oh, my God. So much.
This just made me think of my mom.
Wait. Should we have called your mom?
No, she doesn't know I'm doing this.
She doesn't know you're doing any of this?
She doesn't.
She thinks you're in a convent somewhere?
Probably.
No, for real?
No, I just didn't talk to her today. She doesn't know.
Hello?
Hi, Mom.
I'm gonna go.
Can you call me? Can you call me?
I can't call you. It's okay, I'll hear you.
You sound wonderful. This vacation's doing wonders
okay.
for your voice.
Yeah, not inside. It's very choppy, but out here, it's good.
Okay, perfect. Can you just give us a quick summary of what's happening in Palm Springs? Are you enjoying it? Would you recommend it?
Well, I'm just standing in the sun right now. It's probably about 20 degrees already, which is about 70, I think. These mountains, blue sky, palm trees looking out in front of the mountains. And on top of the mountains, most of them have a little bit of snow.
All right.
At the top of this mountain, I think.
Mom, I think it's a little too choppy. It's a little too choppy. I tried to call your room, but I think just having chunks of your voice at the end will do the trick.
Okay. All right.
Wait, I heard that clearly. Did you have something that you wanted to tell our listeners? This is going out today, so just tell our listeners one thing.
One thing is visit Palm Springs. It's beautiful. It really is. There's something for everyone here.
All right, Mom.
And I think the weather is good all year round, except in summer. I think it gets pretty hot. It's kind of a desert.
Do you see rainbow flags there? I think it's like a gay time place.
I haven't seen it yet. Well, we haven't really gone downtown yet. We've been visiting other places.
Okay, Mommy. Love you.
Love you, too.
Bye. I almost cut her off at the end. She was going to say something about taxes, I promise you. Listen, did you find her in the new accountant?
Your mom sounds scrumptious. She's got the cutest little French accent.
She's got a Swiss accent. She's got a fucked up accent because she met my dad at 20 when she moved and was learning English in Canada. So it's a blend of Pakistani and Swiss and Canadian.
Holy shit, she sounds adorable.
She did kind of sound like someone had a gun to her head when she was talking about Palm Springs. Visit Palm Springs. It's great. There's palm trees.
Is she tiny?
She is tiny, yeah.
She sounds tiny.
She actually fits in my father's pocket.
Oh my God. Is your dad like really tall and big or something?
No, my dad's also tiny, so it's very confusing.
Right.
It's a weird kind of ethnic Russian dolls situation.
I think it's a nice mix.
Okay, I think that we have done it. I think we've really done it. I guess the last thing that I would ask you then, I asked my mom to leave our listeners with something.
Three nuns. Carrying baskets of food and toys for my half-sister brother and myself. And I remember feeling relief. I felt not joy, but relief. And a sense of wonder that somebody who didn't know me would be able to figure out where we lived and come to our house.
Charlotte, anything to add?
You can do it.
You can do it.
You can do it.
You truly can.
Have a sense of urgency. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Feel like Palm Springs has a gun to your head.
Has a gun to your head.
And fucking live your life. It's
good. Live your life. File your taxes, guys. Your taxes.
Pay damn taxes. See you next week.
Bye.
Stone cold. Don't you know you are my heartache? And I'll go fooling around.
Look at Juliana Rancic right now, because she said dreads were like, smelled like weed. When everybody knows Rasta's rock fucking dreads. And Rasta's.
Get me to the camp for, because I know you.